What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoCincy.com. And if you do go online to schedule your next appointment, you'll be like me. Several weeks ago, I had to schedule an appointment to get my foot checked out, had the big sprained toe issue that happened back in July for yours truly. I'm all healed up and feeling good now. But I did go through the online route to schedule that time, make sure that I had that time blocked off. But you can also walk in at OrthoSensi if you're having something that's giving you trouble. They'll see you in as quick a fashion as they possibly can. But I can't speak highly enough of how OrthoSensi was able to treat me and do so in a quick fashion and get me back to normal within a handful of weeks. My injury just took some time to heal, but feeling good and glad you're with me on this September 11th edition of the show. We have plenty to get to in high school sports, as we always do. Before we get to that, it being September 11th, the 22nd anniversary of the terror attacks that shocked the world on September 11th, 2001, nearly 3,000 Americans losing their lives and thousands more injured between the different attacks that took place in New York, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. And for many of us that were old enough to understand what we were watching on that September 11th, 2001. It is a day that we will never forget. I was in middle school still at Greendale Middle School. I believe I was in math class, if my memory serves me correctly. And I remember an announcement coming over the PA that our country was being attacked, and pretty much all of the television screens and all of the classrooms throughout GMS went on, and we all witnessed what we witnessed that day. I'm not going to get into detail about what happened that day because I think we're all pretty familiar with it by now. But with it being September 11th, I just wanted to take that moment to remember the lives that were lost, those that were injured, those that were obviously impacted by September 11th, and losing loved ones and having loved ones be injured in those attacks. We certainly wanted to recognize that as we start out the show. It also got me thinking about some of the big sports moments that kind of helped not necessarily heal our country, but at least get us back to feeling normal. Because obviously when you see something like we all saw on September 11th of 2001, it just rattles you, like, for lack of a better term. Everyone was just kind of in shock. I remember getting home from school that day, standing in my best friend's driveway, and we just couldn't really speak. We were just kept what just happened. So, again, there were some big sports moments that started that healing process, one of which that really stands out to me and maybe stands out to you as well. And we're talking on a national stage here. George W. Bush, the president, throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium before Game 3 of the World Series. Obviously, this came a month or so after the attacks in September, but the president going out there in front of the home faithful, per se, being in New York, and threw a strike there, which was great to see. Maybe you can look at that and take that as a win. Like, all right, it's that pitch right there from the president that's going to get us heading in the right direction. Then you had the New York Giants. They defeated the Kansas City Chiefs in their first post 9/11 game under banners that read KC Loves NY, and Chiefs fans actually cheered the Giants as they ran onto the field at Arrowhead Stadium. And yes, it was a special circumstance with everything that happened prior, but you never hear the opposing team get cheered in an NFL stadium, and it happened on that particular day, as that game wasn't about winning and losing on the field. I think the Chiefs fans in particular kind of put that to the side that day. They wanted to show their respect for one of New York's teams, and by doing so, showing respect to the people of New York, and also extending that to the people of Virginia and Pennsylvania that were impacted as well. And then there was another instance that I thought was big, and again, not necessarily something that happened on September 11th, but pretty immediately after that. Mike Piazza, the Hall of Fame great catcher for the New York Mets, hits a home run in the Mets' first home game back after the attacks. It was actually the first professional sporting event in New York since the attacks on the 11th. It happened on September 21st, 2001, and the Mets were down a run late in the game against the Braves, divisional opponent, and Mike Piazza hits that home run to center field, two-run homer that propelled the Mets to victory. But again, it was that instance, looking back at the video, I just watched this highlight earlier today, seeing Mike Piazza hit that home run and then seeing the fans go absolutely crazy, pretty packed house there at then Shea Stadium in Queens, and it was just one of those moments where it was like, okay, we have at least for that moment in time right there forgotten about this horrific event that happened in our country just 10 days prior. And again, this wasn't an instance where we were going to be fully healed right after a Mike Piazza home run, but it was just one of those instances that helped everyone start to move forward, if you want to call it that, from the sports perspective, because I do think sports and entertainment went a long way to help us get back to normal, because these are the things, these are the kind of outlets that we turn to when things aren't maybe going right in our personal lives. Being able to watch a show or read a book or go to a sporting event, whatever it might be that you can get lost in for a little bit of time to make you forget about something else that is maybe not going well, or a national event that was incredibly tragic. It was good for those people, particularly in New York, to have these instances where they can start to feel better and not necessarily move on and put it in the past, but move on. It's kind of hard to explain, but hopefully I'm getting my point across here that there were some big moments in sports history pretty shortly after those September 11th attacks, and those are some of the ones that will live in infamy, I think, when it comes to the sports world. Just again, trying to get a sports tie into this Monday, September 11th edition of Crunch Time, but again, the big thing is remembering the lives lost on September 11th, 2001. And with that, we can move on into the next portion of our show, which is going to revolve around high school athletics and local athletics. Before we get to the high school level, I do want to briefly talk about Mason Paris, who's going to be back on the wrestling mat this weekend. We told you last week with our online-only episode that Mason Paris will represent Team USA at the 2023 Senior World Championship this week in Belgrade, Serbia. He is replacing Gable Steveson, who was set to be the heavyweight representative on Team USA. Those two guys met at Final X earlier this year in Newark, New Jersey. Steveson got the best of Paris once again to qualify to be that heavyweight representative, but Gable Steveson recently telling Team USA that he is not going to compete at the Senior World Championship, which means the runner-up Mason Paris going to get a chance to go represent his country. And he has done so well in the past, as he previously captured a 2019 Junior World Gold in the men's freestyle in the heavyweight division. He pinned Iran's Amir Zaire in the gold medal final in Estonia in 2019, and he may run into that guy yet again at the Senior World Championships, because Iran's heavyweight has gone on to win a Senior World Heavyweight Championship since then. So this is going to be a very intriguing tournament. Of course, it's always intriguing when we have Lawrenceburg own Mason Paris in it. A lot of eyeballs going to be on him, as he has done everything that we thought he was capable of doing. After you see him rip off the three consecutive state championships at the high school level from his sophomore to senior year, he goes to the collegiate level to the University of Michigan, and everyone's thinking it. This kid's got a chance to win a national championship. Now, took him a little bit to get there into his fifth year senior season to win the national championship, but just went undefeated, 33-0, dominated there as a fifth year senior, won the Dan Hodge Trophy, the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy in collegiate wrestling, and now has a chance to put another feather in his cap, another trophy in the mantle, or on the mantle or in the trophy case, at the 2023 Senior World Championship. So good luck to Mason Paris. We are rooting for you. You know you got everybody behind you, not only here in Lawrenceburg, but in southeastern Indiana and beyond. So again, Mason going to compete the 16th and the 17th, and maybe next week we're going to be talking about him being a world champion right on this show. Speaking of champions, when we come back, we're going to talk about the EIAC Girls Golf Championship from over the weekend. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3, and at EagleCountryOnline.com. You're listening to Crunch Time on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. I'm your host, Double T. Big thanks to our friends at OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for their continued sponsorship of this show and their support of high school athletics. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg. Orthopedic specialist you need close to home. OrthoSensi.com. Again, that's OrthoSensi.com. As promised, going to talk a little girls golf here. The EIAC Championship happening over the weekend, and congratulations to the Batesville Lady Bulldogs claiming the EIAC Championship as sophomore Ava South made it back-to-back MVP titles as she was the medalist with an even par round of 70. Josie Meyer finishing third with an overall score of 76. Also had Addie Weiler on the all-conference team. She shot 84, and Zoe Ahern with a 94 as Batesville actually puts five on the all-conference team. Excuse me, Alexis Gallagher on there as well with a 91. Some of the other top performers from the EIAC Championship, Rowan Pies, we've known her to post some low scores throughout this season. She's won many of tournaments, shoots 75, places in second for the East Central Lady Trojans. From Franklin County, Crystal Callahan shoots 80. She was fourth. Nicole Mears, an 81, placing fifth. And a couple of young ladies from Rushville, Emma Tressler and Claire Waits, making the all-conference team, shooting 90 and 95, respectively. So just a few schools represented on the all-conference team. Batesville winning the championship, a combined 321, as they dominate Franklin County. Comes in second with a 359, East Central third, 394 as a team. Rushville was fourth with a 401. Greensburg finishes fifth with a 441. Connersville sixth at 445. And Lawrenceburg rounds out the EIAC Championship in seventh place with a team score of 476. So again, congratulations to Batesville and Ava South, the medalist and MVP of the EIAC with an even par 70. I am super jealous of pretty much all of those scores, because my goal is always to break 100 when I'm out on the golf course. So all these young ladies doing way better than your boy Double T is on the golf course. So I want to check in on some other happenings in hometown sports from over the weekend. Plenty to get to in cross country, boys and girls soccer, volleyball as well. Now maybe we'll start with volleyball as our next sport, because Batesville champions again there, winning the Ripley County Championship. Always good to win a trophy, always fun to win a trophy, and something that you can brag about, of course. So Batesville goes and gets it done, defeating Jacksonville 3-0. They then beat Milan 3-0 in the Ripley County Championship game, and Grace Walter had a couple of nice performances there. Ava Pounder, Molly Meir, Addison Lurs, among the other top performers for Batesville as they get it done, winning the Ripley County Championship. Other happenings in volleyball over the weekend, South Dearborn was a 3-1 winner over Medora. And we had the Connersville tournament as well. Rising Sun had a nice showing there. They go 2-1, defeated Pike 2-0. Reese Merica, 13 assists in that contest. Tamron Miller with 7 kills. Second matchup of the day, Rising Sun falls 2-0 to Seymour and then bounces back for a 2-1 win over Connersville. Ryan Works, 10 kills, 10 digs. Jenna Peelman with 4 aces. And Reese Merica popping up again with 18 assists. As again, a good showing for Rising Sun volleyball over the weekend. Plenty to get to in cross country. Jacksonville Invitational, the Milan boys, they have been the story of the cross country season from my eyes, because pretty much any event they're in, they are winning, and not only winning, but dominating. Again, they have an outing where four of their runners finish in the top five, that being Ben Reilly, Lucas Cooney, Gabe Reilly, and Aiden Potts. They go first, second, fourth, and fifth, respectively. Ben Reilly's time at the Jacksonville Invitational, blazing speed, 15 minutes and 58 seconds to lead the pack as Milan wins that one. 22 points, again, the low score there, wins in cross country. Hagerstown finishing second, 84. So shows you the discrepancy there. South Ripley was third. Shaw Memorial, Rising Sun, Switzerland County go 4-5-6. South Decatur, Southwestern, North Decatur round out the nine teams that placed at the Jacksonville Invitational. Great job by Mason Bascom of South Ripley. He finishes sixth place, 17 minutes, 38 seconds. Casey Fletcher, Owen Marklin, Perry Trey, they finished 12th, 16th, and 19th, respectively, for Rising Sun. And then Ty Lay was the top performer for Switzerland County, placing 22nd overall. Girls' side of things, Switzerland County is the winner here. Ellie Keith powering the Lady Pacers with a second-place finish, 21 minutes, 43 seconds. Also had Claire Rogers and Lainey McAllister finish in the top 10 for the Lady Pacers. Southwestern, North Decatur in the top three. South Decatur, South Ripley, Jacksonville round out the team scores 4 through 6. Some of the top performers, Ellie Potts, fifth for Milan. They didn't have a team score, incomplete team, but fifth overall finish for Ellie Potts. Lauren Agner from Lawrenceburg finished eighth, and Hannah Cooney from Milan, 11th place finish. Also had Kerrigan Friend with a nice day, finishing 13th for Rising Sun. You can see more scores, full results from the Jacksonville Invitational by going to EagleCountryOnline.com. Had the Brown County Eagle Classic. We like that. East Central competing there. The girls place 11th out of 18 teams, while the boys finish 12th out of 20 teams. These are some of the best teams in the state. This is a high-caliber cross-country event that Brown County hosts on a yearly basis, and East Central doing pretty good for themselves. Callie Bentley, Jenna Weiler, Addie Brewer, Emily Clem, and Delaney Donaworth, the top five Lady Trojans at the Brown County Eagle Classic. On the boys' side, Braden Hatton, Logan Hicks, Gavi Hicks, Tyler Allison, and Vincent Keck doing well for the Trojans. So pretty good showing there. And then the Ben Davis Invitational, Batesville competing there. The Batesville girls placed second out of 10 teams. Lexian Harris was 8th overall. Kaylin Beadle was 2 seconds behind her, 9th place. Megan Allgaier finishes 25th. Sam Adams and Kaylee Raver finish 30th and 32nd, respectively. So a really great job done by the Batesville girls. Batesville boys, Jake Chapman was 18th overall. Isaac Trossman finishes 43rd. You had Cannon Clark, Deve Ranka, and Jaden Bassler finishing 52nd, 61st, and 68th. So again, some great times for a lot of these runners from our area. They're getting geared up for sectional time, going to be right around the corner. And I do believe we're going to have some boys and girls that are going to advance through this state tournament just based on what I've seen so far this season. A lot of consistency, particularly from the two East Central teams, the Batesville teams. Milan boys have been very strong. Switzerland County's girls have been absolutely awesome. And then you got some individuals that are shining for some other teams that haven't maybe won collectively as a group, but still have some really, really strong runners. So looking forward to covering cross country some more this season and seeing how our area runners do, particularly once we get to the state tournament level. Let's talk volleyball. Or no, we hit volleyball. Sorry about that. Let's go to boys and girls soccer. Not a whole lot of matches from over the weekend, but certainly some worth noting. We'll start on the boys' side of things. Batesville getting a 3-0 win over Scottsburg. Ian Carpenter's been fantastic this year. Another two goals for the Bulldogs. Carson Laker, another strong player for Batesville. He scores a goal as Batesville goes on to win that one 3-0. Seymour gets the best of Oldenburg Academy 2-1. Oldenburg playing a much larger school, but Oldenburg one of the best teams in 1A. So that's a pretty good score line considering they're playing up against a strong Seymour team. East Central takes on North Central, wins that one 1-0, and Greensburg getting the best of a really solid Switzerland County team 2-1, despite a goal from Cooper Todd for the Pacers. Cooper's having a fantastic year yet again. On the girls' side of things, South Dearborn, 3-0 winner over Connersville in the EIAC. Batesville, they win an EIAC matchup 1-0 over Franklin County. Elena Keisel scores the goal. Renee Lecker with four saves in goal. And then Oldenburg Academy, their girls similar to the boys' team, very strong team in 1A. They fall 5-2 to Heritage Christian. But Sadie Waxman and Claire Neese coming up with a goal each for the Lady Twisters. So there's... a lot of the action that happened from Saturday. Now we want to go back to Friday and talk a little high school football. Start with what it was our featured game of the week, Milan hosting Switzerland County in a battle of two independent schools, and it was Milan coming away with the blowout win 50-7 over the Pacers. Wyatt Marsh, the best game of his young career at quarterback. The sophomore goes 8 of 10 for 123 yards, throws a touchdown, did have an interception, but largely great performance from Wyatt Marsh. I thought he had a lot of zip on the ball, particularly in his short to intermediate route throws. Once he gets dialed in on the deep ball and they sprinkle that into their offense a little bit more going forward, maybe this year, but certainly junior-senior season, this is a young man that's going to put up some big numbers, I think, for Coach Ryan Langferman's Indians. Dylan Offal got it all started for the Milan Indians. They force a three and out on the opening possession, and then Dylan goes 70 yards on a punt return touchdown. He also had an interception in the game. Mason Green carried the ball twice, 57 yards, two touchdowns. Jeremiah Johnson carried the ball three times. He scored twice. And then can't forget about the Switzerland County Pacers. Matt Young was one of the bright spots for this team. 13 carries, 173 yards on the ground, including a 98-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter. I did not get confirmation on this, but that has to be a school record. Switzerland County, just 9 years into their program. Not sure they've had a touchdown longer than that from scrimmage. So congratulations to Matt Young on a great game and a great moment there at the end of the game. But this Milan team, they are one to watch this season at the 1A level. Just 2-2 on the season. But again, we talked about it on our broadcast. They defeated Rushville week one. They played Batesville and Lawrenceburg, very tough week 2 and 3, and those are two teams that are going to be vying for the same sectional in 3A in a handful of weeks from now's time, and then they turn around and do what they need to do against Switzerland County and beat them 50-7 on their homecoming night. This team is ranked 12th in the Sagarin in 1A. They would actually be a top 25 team in 2A if they played at that level based on those Sagarin ratings. So this is a strong Milan team. I wouldn't pay too much attention to what their regular season record is at the end of the year, because I don't think whatever that ends up being may not be an indication of how good this team is. If there's a couple more losses in there along the way, because they are going to play some good teams, in particular, Providence is one that I have circled as kind of a barometer game to kind of see where they are at. But physically strong team, they got some great athletes, and this is a team that's well connected. They're good friends, they hang out together, they like being around each other, and that sometimes is the mark of a really great team. Yeah, you got to put it together on the field, but when you are playing for one another, those are the teams that can blossom into championship teams, and this team has aspirations of winning a sectional championship. That is their lone goal, not playing in a conference, and I think from what I've seen so far, they have what it takes to get it done. Will be a very tough sectional. North Decatur has been very, very good here in recent memory. Try, very good team as well. These are teams that are going to be ranked high in 1A, but I think this Milan team starting to catch up to those two teams just a bit. So we're really excited to see where the Indians go from here. They got Greenwood Christian coming up on Friday. Let's turn our attention to East Central. 55-0 winner over Franklin County. And Josh Ringer at it again. 14 carries, 140 yards, and four touchdowns. Set the school record for career rushing touchdowns with 69, breaking Andrew Wolf's previous record, and more on that in just a bit. Ryan Brotherton, 7 receptions, 119 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Cole Burton, very efficient, 11 of 14 for .165 and 3 touchdowns. We're going to get back to Josh Ringer here momentarily. Want to run down some more scores, talk a little bit more about all of our teams that we cover here in the area. But East Central, the beat goes on. I don't know that there's another game on their schedule where they're not going to be favored, including the Ron Colley game. On the road to end the regular season, this team is firing on all cylinders. Ringer's been unbelievable. You got a certainly more than capable quarterback in Cole Burton. If they ever have to throw the ball more than they want to, especially when he's throwing to a D1 receiver in Ryan Brotherton. And then the defense, they kind of just go quietly into the night. They go about their business. They don't give up many yards, don't give up many points at all. And the offense kind of gets all of the attention because that's the flashy plays and the big runs and the big passes. You kind of get it. But this defense is legit as it's ever been. This is a team, again, that is more than likely going to make a deep run into the playoffs. If you were to ask anybody across the state right now who's going to be representing the southern portion of the state in the Class 4A state championship game, East Central has got to be the favorite right now. And that's no disrespect to some of the other good to great teams in the state. I'm looking at a couple teams in Evansville and Wrights and Memorial that might have something to say about that. Of course, Ron Colley, New Pal, they're going to be in the conversation. But as we get further into this season, I think you can start to see that list of who's standing out dwindling. There's only going to be a handful of teams that can realistically win the state championship, and East Central is one of them. South Dearborn, 32-13 win over Connersville as they bounce back from the Week 3 loss to Batesville. Adam Kunkel, very efficient in this game, 16-22, 162, and 2 touchdowns. Brady Ballard gets his first full game at running back. They put him in at running back a week prior, around halftime, because they couldn't muster anything on the ground. He runs for 142 yards and a score, also leads the team with 12 tackles and a fumble recovery. Hudson Shackelford, Ryan Richard getting it done as receivers, both finding the end zone. So a good bounce back win for South Dearborn. They'll look to keep the momentum going this week before their big showdown with East Central 2 weeks from this, or a week from this Friday, excuse me. Lawrenceburg seemingly finding their groove as they have in recent years. Lose the first game of the season to East Central, win the rest of your regular season games. That's been their MO. They win 42-0 on the road at Greensburg. Logan Ahouse, the best game of his career at quarterback, 11 of 13 for a career-high 212 yards, 2 touchdowns. Hayden Saylor scores 3 touchdowns, 1 through the air and 2 on the ground, and Kinzer Pope leads the way defensively with 10 tackles. Batesville, very strong team this year, 56-18 win over Rushville. They're 4-0. Will Geisel throws for 136 yards and 3 touchdowns, a couple touchdown passes to his top target, Cade Kaiser. And then you have Gage Pullman, who runs the ball 20 times for 252 and 3 touchdowns as the Bulldogs run over Rushville. And then in Ohio, Harrison, a 42-0 win over Western Hills. They're 3-1. Cole Coops, 150 yards on the ground, couple touchdowns. Luke Rogers scores a couple touchdowns through the air. And Taylor, a winner over Deer Park, 56-28. So just some of the highlights from the games from Friday, as it was a really great weekend for our area teams. Everybody that we cover pretty much won, with the exception of Franklin County falling to East Central. So, again, good week of high school football. Another week ahead, we're going to be bringing you the Lawrenceburg-Franklin County game this Friday. Will be homecoming night from Lawrenceburg. You can look out for the Eagle Country 99.3 truck in the parade prior to the game. And then Mike Perleberg's got the call for you on Friday from Lawrenceburg High School. Mentioned next week, East Central hosting South Dearborn. We will have that game for you as well, as this week is actually the midway point of the regular season. It certainly does go quick. And just one final note in high school football, as I promised we'd get back to Josh Ringer. He set that record for career rushing touchdowns on Friday, 69. I mentioned that he set that record breaking Andrew Wolf's record. No, it was Alex Maxwell's rushing record that he broke, 68 for Alex, back between 2015 and 2018. He did surpass Andrew Wolf's record for the program's all-time leading scorer. Wolf, a 1998 grad, had 434 points. Ringer now stands at 444 and counting. He's going to be up well over 500, you would think, by the end of the year. But some other records are being put on notice as well, including Wolf's career rushing record of 5,708 yards. Ringer needs another 1,221 yards to break that record. He may also challenge his own record of 39 single-season rushing touchdowns, and this may be contingent on a deep playoff run. Ringer would have to average nearly 250 yards per game to get the career rushing yards record in the regular season. But I think if you look at East Central Sectional, they're going to play at least three more games there. They'll get the regional game for lots of games left for Josh Ringer to continue putting his name in the East Central record book. So again, just a big congratulations to Josh. Super great kid. Couldn't happen to a better kid and a better student athlete. So we're looking forward to seeing what else he may do this senior season and then beyond, going to Miami of Ohio. So that's a pretty much a good way to end it here on Crunch Time. Wanted to get to some real quick FC Cincinnati Reds Bengals notes, because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty for FC Cincinnati and the Reds. It's kind of the good, bad, and the ugly. FC Cincinnati, they're the good. They have a 9-point lead in the Supporters Shield standings with 7 matches to play. The importance of winning this Supporters Shield, you are the regular season champion. If you look at, say, like English Premier League soccer, they don't have a playoffs. If you win the league, you win the league. So if you win the league here, you get the Supporters Shield and you get to go to the CONCACAF Champions League. You would also be the number one seed in the MLS Cup playoffs. And if they make it to the final, the championship match would be in Cincinnati. So there's a lot of good to being the Supporters Shield winner. Yes, the MLS Cup is another trophy, and hopefully they can win that one too. They play at Philly this Saturday without their star player, Luciano Acosta, who was serving suspension for yellow card accumulation. The bad, but not too bad, the Reds have fallen to a game and a half out of the third and final wild card spot in the National League. Lost 2-3 to the Cardinals over the weekend. They're 5-5 to start this month. They got the Tigers, Mets, Twins, Pirates, Guardians, Cardinals to end the season. Only the Twins have a winning record, so there's certainly an opportunity there for the Reds to make the playoffs. But regardless of how it ends this season, they have overachieved and they are set up for the future. Also, a cool note, Joey Votto turns 40 yesterday, hits a home run in his first game back off of the injured list. Then the ugly, the Bengals. There was nothing good to say about yesterday's performance. They looked unprepared, scared at times, non-interested in playing in the rain, at least offensively. I don't think the defense was too bad. They were just put in a bad situation all day because the offense couldn't move the ball, couldn't score any points. But I think this was probably to be expected. Just none of us wanted to admit it. Offense didn't get any time together in the preseason due to Joe Burrow's calf strain. They started slow before, particularly the last couple of years, and we all know how those years have ended up. So maybe ugly early this season for the Bengals, but they're going to be fine. There's going to be a point in the season where they hit their stride. They're going to go on a win streak. They're still going to be a team that's going to be competing to win the AFC North and have home field games in the playoffs. Yes, I understand yesterday was very, very bad, but like Zach Taylor said, this is not the team they are going to be, and I thoroughly believe that, and you should too. The Bengals are not going anywhere. I believe they bounce back on Sunday and knock off the Ravens at home. So we'll say hooday to that. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I've run myself out of time. Thank you so much to OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine for sponsoring the show. You, the listeners, for tuning in every Monday. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here at Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com.